Hey there, my DPC Story listeners. Marielle here. I'm thrilled to invite you to a game-changing event I'm hosting featuring Dr. Lauren Hetty. For the past decade, Dr. Lauren Hetty has been pioneering in direct primary care with her practice, Direct Doctors. She's kept her overhead to a mere 20% with zero staff, and now she's ready to share more of her strategies with you. That's right, folks. Dr. Hetty's practice has been booming, with four physicians joining her at her two locations. If you've ever wondered how to keep overhead low, streamline workflows without staff, and experience exponential growth, then this event is an absolute must. And here's the best part. Tickets are pay what you can. Don't miss this incredible opportunity to learn from one of the best in the biz. Reserve your spot now for our virtual Ask the Expert with Dr. Hetty, which will happen on April 30th. Get tickets on the events tab at mydpcstory.com and get ready to elevate your practice to new heights. A note about today's episode. There is some language that may be inappropriate for young listeners, so please consider this as you listen today. Thanks for tuning in. Direct primary care is an innovative, alternative path to insurance-driven healthcare. Typically, patients pay their doctor a low monthly membership and, in return, build a lasting relationship with their doctor and have their doctor available at their fingertips.
Direct primary care means balance and freedom from the everyday, unrealistic expectations that traditional practices place on physicians. It means having more time for my daughter, for myself, and the things that I enjoy. I am Mashira Jackson, MD, and this is my DPC story.
Dr. Jackson graduated from Xavier University of Louisiana in 2003 with a Bachelor's of Science in Biology and a minor in Chemistry. She then went on to Morehouse School of Medicine in Atlanta to get her Doctorate of Medicine and graduated in 2007. After Morehouse, she went on to Carolina's Medical Center Family Medicine Program on the rural track, where she finished her training in 2010. Since 2010, she has done primary care, urgent care, telemedicine, occupational medicine, and now has her very own practice, which was always her ultimate goal. She opened her DPC doors in December of 2015. Hi, Mashira.
Hi, how are you, Marielle?
It's great to connect. I wish, you know, we could meet each other in person, but someday I hope we will.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for jumping on. I'm really looking forward to chatting with you. And I was reading a little bit on your website about your experience as to how you had to pivot really quickly to open your practice. So I'm really looking forward to hearing that. And I predict that when people hear your words, a lot of people are going to be able to relate to that. I am not yet ready to open up my DPC because I just had a son in November, but
congratulations. I saw the baby. I was like, how are you doing this and pregnant? And because I was like dead to the world, like that last trimester. And it, the first few months, like I was a zombie. Like I was there in body, but my mind was gone.
Oh man. Yeah, I definitely had those moments, but I could not believe, you know, we're doctors and everyone's always going to need a doctor and we don't have any job security. It's heartbreaking. So I really think that your words are going to be hitting home with a lot of people.
You want that? Okay, you have to wait till I'm done, okay?
Okay. How old is your daughter?
She's 9.
That's awesome.
This year, I definitely have been able to enjoy having more time with her because I feel like I've been like very living the urgent care life. I feel like I'm always rushing.
Sure.
And I was also doing locums. So I've been doing locums for the last 5 years. I've been doing locums. So I have been doing locums urgent care and I had my main job doing urgent care. So I've always, after leaving primary care for 5 years and then transitioning into or adding locums onto, because primary care was a whole nother, like, you know, beast, but I did primary care and I had health issues, and they showed me that you always needed a backup, because when I had health issues, they basically were like, we're not going to help you, you know, despite what your doctor is saying, like, you need all these accommodations, we're not going to give it to you. We're just not. So you can either not work, come back to work and work with your health issues, and we're not going to pay you because you can't work to the same productivity level you were, or you can leave. So I left primary care because I had to, because I had health issues. So I left into, I entered urgent care because I had to, because I had surgery on my hand. So I was one-handed for a long time. So that was my entrance into urgent care for 5 years, with the intentions of going back into primary care because I loved it. So, and I'm from Gainesville, and you just did a podcast with Althea. Yeah. I am from Gainesville. I'm born and raised in Gainesville. My patients and my family are all in Gainesville. I had patients that, like, from, like, classmates and, wow, like, you, like, family members, and, like, but I, my, we go by generations, like hundreds of years.
That's amazing.
And I was there because I wanted to give back to my community. And my job basically was like, you have this health issue and we're not going to work with you. That's that. So I had to leave. So to be able to continue to support my family. So, or they were going to just cut my salary by half or less because they weren't going to give me a raise. They had never given me a raise. They were never going to give me a raise. And it was just a whole big old thing. So I left. So that was that. And then I was like, I'll just go. The next time I was going to work in primary care was for myself, because that was such a horrible experience. So urgent care. And then urgent care was like 3 days a week. It allowed me to heal for my surgery. And then essentially I was able to do locums. And then I was like, okay, well, I'm going to open my own practice, because I only work 3 days a week, and urgent care is so easy. It's so easy compared to primary care, and it was great. And then, you know, next thing you know, life happened and I couldn't do what I wanted to do with my practice because of life, you know, having a family. And next thing you know, here we are, 2020, and a pandemic hits. And I am forced to work less, because urgent care, we were only seeing like 7 to 12 patients a day. Like, it was like crazy. When we had the shutdown down here in Florida, when everything was shut down, we were only seeing like 7 to 12 patients a day. So we were diverting our staff to other areas, because the clinic I was working at is a multi-specialty clinic. So we had all, you know, all the specialties, all the adult specialties. So they were picking up hours and shifts at other locations, and they downsized our staff and cut our hours. So I was like, well, this is a great time for me to refocus my energy. So December 2015, I was started seeing patients. I was using Practice Fusion, and I was only seeing friends and family. Basically, like, they would call me and say, hey, can you call me in X, Y, and Z? So I put their information in my EMR, which was Practice Fusion. At that time, it was free. I read this book called Suddenly Solo. I don't know if you ever heard of that book. It was called Suddenly Solo. And it was like how to start a practice when you were just late or just fired and you weren't expecting it. And it was like the bare.
No, I have not heard
but
this.
It was like this book. Yeah. It was like a 1 hour read book. Like, you could literally sit down and read that book in like an hour if you had like time, like, to dedicate towards reading the book. So I think I read it, and it was like, this is what you do, and this is all you need. And he said, get Practice Fusion, find a chiropractor, see if they can rent an office space, get these two insurance companies, get Medicare, get the Blues Brothers. And this is what he did. And it was by this doctor, Richard Shore, because he was laid off unexpectedly and he had to just kind of pull it together. And this is what he did. So Anyway, so I read that book, and then I read these a series of other books, like 31 and a half Essentials to Starting a Medical Practice, and I read a couple other books after that. The Medical Practice Startup Guide, that was the other one. Anyways, and they all, like, you know, gave me all these tips to starting a practice, and they were all easy reads. Fast forward 2020, the pandemic, and then I really started in a more serious way, and it was a lot easier because there was less distractions because of the pandemic. Because in 2015, I had a lot of distractions. I had a husband that was making some bad decisions that was causing a lot of distractions at home. And I had a small child, because at that time my daughter was like 3, 4, 5. And then I had just transitioned. We had just moved to the Tampa area. So we had to move, transitioning to a new city. We were buying a house. It was just a lot of transition. Anyways. And then I really started to do urgent care, which is a new type of medicine. And that was a learning curve, because while urgent care is still family medicine on crack, it's not the same. There's an art to it, because you want to make people happy. And then you also need to get them in and out in like 15, 20 minutes. So I didn't do it. And I couldn't pursue it. So 2020, July 4th, 2020, I opened, like, I actually had a place to see patients and open Luke's Family Practice to see patients face-to-face. I was seeing patients via telemedicine May 4th. I got my notice that I was laid off April 28th. May 4th, I saw my first patient as Luke's Family Practice.
That's just incredible. And when you had such a quick turnaround into really focusing on your practice, how did you make that transition in terms of, did you have any changes in your malpractice insurance? Did you change EMRs? How did you make that transition?
Well, I always kept Practice Fusion. I never gave it up, because I had this long-term goal of opening my practice. So I realized urgent care was not making me happy. The type of medicine and the type of clientele and the lack of continuity and relationships, I wasn't happy. So I knew it was a short-term thing. And in 2019, I realized it was time for me to start looking for making my way out of urgent care. So in 2019, I started canceling my insurance with the company. I started looking for malpractice for myself. I hadn't purchased it yet. I started making moves to get out of urgent care, paying off debt and getting more organized, decluttering my home and my bills, and making it so that I could dedicate more of my finances towards the business, because a big part of starting a business is having capital. And I didn't want to go into more debt because of the, you know, the student loans that we already carry, plus my home loan. I just wasn't trying to do more debt, plus my credit cards and everything else that comes with, you know, just life. So I was trying to minimize my expenses. So I had paid off like $180,000 worth of credit card debt so prior to this, and decluttered. And then 2019, I worked so much with locums. Periodically, I would work like maybe 120 hours a week between locums and my regular job, putting away savings and doing my regular job and putting that money away. And then that was 2019. So getting financially ready in 2019 to quit my job in 2020. That was the plan anyway, because I wasn't happy. I was not in a good place in my career, because there was no, I wasn't moving. My director was not trying to give me wasn't going to give me, there's no promotion, there's no raise happening, there was no, and they kept adding responsibilities to our plate. So already in urgent care, I was doing weight loss. Already in urgent care, I was doing primary care because our little subsection of urgent care incorporated primary care and urgent care. Already they were adding on telemedicine as a responsibility for urgent care, which didn't work well because we were so busy. So I was like, well, you're not adding, you keep adding on these things that we have to do, but you're not adding on anything to our income. And it's stressful because patients are not happy because they're waiting so long because we're doing all these extra services. And then on top of that, you know, I'm getting all these additional certifications, you know, DOT certifications, ACLS, you know, PALS, and I'm maintaining these certifications and nobody else is doing that, you know, because I do locums, I have to maintain additional certifications that this particular urgent care, my main urgent care didn't require. So I was like, you know, you're not going to do it. You're not going to pay me accordingly. Then that's fine. I'll move on. That is the nature of medicine. You know, that's why it's so fluid and there's so much, you know, turnover because of that. So I was like, I'll move on. And I made those transitions. I made those moves in 2019. And then this weird viral illness hit my entire office. I don't know what it was. It wasn't the flu. And it, at that point, there was no COVID testing, but it knocked us all out at various times. And then I was the one that got hospitalized with these like horrible migraines that affected like my speech and my vision after my viral illness. And it was like horrible. It was the worst possible scenario. And it knocked me out of work for a month. And we couldn't get a handle on it. All the medications in the world they threw at me. And it was just the weirdest like series of events. It was like my daughter's school got knocked out. It was a bad flu season. All of her school basically got the flu. Then like in my household, we all got sick. And then at work, we all got sick. This is 2019 winter, the fall winter 2019 here in Florida. So it was just kind of like a series of things. And then next thing you know, COVID is here in the United States and school is shut down. And now we are shutting down as well as a country. So it was just kind of like one thing after the other. And I was like, okay, well, everything happens for a reason. And I needed time. One of the things that I was lacking to start my business in 2015 was time. That was a big part of it. I just didn't have time. I didn't have time or money. And because of 2019, I was working so much and saving, I had more finances. Because of COVID and the shutdown, I had more time. And then I was able to borrow from myself. So I had more money to start the business. And then the only downside was now I was homeschooling and I am not a teacher. Let me just tell you, I'm not. That's not me. I am not meant to teach my own child, but you pivot, you learn, and that's what I had to do. So it was just kind of trying to figure it all out. And then eventually, by asking for help from friends and family, social media was a big part of it. I found a space and it was Dr. Irene Waba, who ultimately allowed me to sublease a space at this really nice, her office is really, really nice, well-known group here. So I rent her space on the weekends and I didn't have to buy a lot of the things that go into a medical office. So for now, that's where I am on the weekends. And then during a weekday, I do telemedicine and it works out for now. If it wasn't for everything, it was the hardest thing was dealing with insurances. And that's kind of what deterred me. And then in 2019, one of my friends, her name is Dr. Tamika Lott, came down here for a direct primary care 2-day conference that was happening in 2019. And we worked together at urgent care a couple years ago, or actually now 3 years ago. And she was doing a locums with the urgent care that I was working at the time, and she is now doing primary care with Kaiser. And she said, I am thinking about doing this direct primary care, but I can't decide. And I was like, direct primary care? I don't know anything about that. So I looked into it, and at the beginning of 2020, the end of 2019, I was like, I think this is for me. This is exactly what I need. And my nanny has a direct primary care doctor who she's been going to for the last like 20 years, who transitioned from a major practice here in the city into his own DPC practice. And she loves it. So, you know, I kind of cyber stalked him. And then I looked into other DPCs in the area. And then I looked on the websites and the Facebooks and the social media platforms. And I was like, this is a great way for me to start my practice, not have to get credentialed with insurances and deal with the headaches, and not have to have a bunch of patients on my panel, and be able to have time for myself and my family, and be able to have balance and actually be successful, because I know I'm good at what I do because I did it for other practices, and patients follow me where I go, and they follow me on Facebook. Like, I have patients who were previous patients from my practice in Gainesville that have followed me. And when I go to Gainesville, they reach out to me. And because my family is so ingrained in the community, they know me and they're good to my family. You know, like, it's that type of community, because of the type of community is kind of small and everybody knows everybody. And, you know, it's kind of rural, kind of in between rural and suburban. So people know people, and it's nice because if you were to break down the side of the road, you don't have to call an Uber. Somebody, I guarantee you, somebody will pass you that will know you and pick you up and take you home.
That's awesome. That's, you don't find a lot of communities like that these days.
So, I mean, that's the type of community I grew up in. I mean, this is not like, Lutz is not necessarily that type of place, but I will say that, you know, I think that it could be that place, because I feel like the people that I have seen in my clinic, a lot of those people are from here and they know the community. They've seen it grow and change. And I look forward to taking care of those people. And I look forward to getting to know the community the way I got to know, the way my community is in Gainesville. I look forward to getting to know this community because I've been here 5 years and I like it. I like what I see. And I look forward to being a part of it because my daughter and I have been here for so long, long enough now. We've been around a lot of the businesses and the churches and the festivals, all of the festivals. We love festivals, by the way. And we go to all the things before COVID. I can't wait to get back into doing those things and being a part of it, because that's the best way to integrate into the community, is to do the community things, the festivals and the, you know, the games and all the things like we used to do before COVID. So we'll see how it goes in the next couple years.
Stay with us. We'll be right back. Your calls for more content have not fallen on deaf ears. I am so excited to announce the My DPC Story Patreon community. Delve into exclusive full-length interviews with pioneers like Dr. Neeti Kapoor, our inaugural physician guest, and get further enlightening insights from our current season's doctors, starting with Dr. Harpreet Sui. Hear our guests share even more, from their worst days to their best days and everything in between. Get access to this treasure trove of conversations and more by joining our My DPC Story community now. Check out the link in the show notes or go to patreon.com/mydpcstoryfan. That's patreon.com/mydpcstoryfan. With you having gotten a space and having opened your practice, you have telemedicine on the weekdays and office hours on the weekends. And you said it's working for you, which is fantastic because, like you said, it's hitting your goals of taking care of patients in your own clinic, not having to deal with insurances and having time with your family, along with the other goals that you had for yourself. I want to ask about your telemedicine visits because you're with your locums, I'm assuming you have licenses in Florida, Louisiana, and Oklahoma. Do you offer telemedicine visits for people who are not physically in Florida as well for your practice?
Definitely. If you are using Sesame is the main source of patients for the out-of-state clients. And I don't even know how I found Sesame. I just Googled platforms for telemedicine and I signed up with Sesame Care. And one day, maybe 2 weeks ago, one of their patient care representatives reached out to me and said, we could get you more visits if you change X, Y, and Z. And you have to label your visits this way, this particular way. If you label your visits this particular way, you'll get more visits. And if you lower your prices, you'll get more visits. Okay, I'm not lowering my prices because that would be unfair to my current patients. So that's not happening. But he also, you know, changed my licensure and made it so that it represented like all of my licenses correctly. And my profile was updated correctly. And then all of a sudden, I've been getting at least one telemedicine visit every day, which is great. And they have been great. And it's free. It was a free telemedicine platform. It's absolutely free. They take the payment. You get set up with Stripe. And it's great. The other alternative, because I have two, the other telemedicine platform that I use is doxy.me, but they don't do any advertising for you. Sesame does advertising for you, so I don't have to do anything. And they have some monitoring of who clicks on your profile. So you can see, like I saw the other day on Christmas Day, like 9,000 people clicked on my profile.
That's insane. That's absolutely incredible. Oh my goodness.
So
is this on a dashboard that you can see this information?
Yeah. You can see it on, wow. But I was closed on Christmas Day because I wasn't working. I wasn't doing that to myself or my family. So you can look and see who's clicking on your profile, how many clicks you get. So that was interesting to see. And I'm just now getting more visits with the additional tweaking with the patient, not the patient, but the provider representative, which was a free service that they provided. So that was kind of cool. So, and it's free, completely free. I don't pay for that service.
Wow. That's amazing. Have you ever dabbled in ZocDoc?
So no. And the reason I did not mess with ZocDoc is because it's expensive. It's like $300 to sign up. And then they charge you per appointment. And you don't get that many appointments from there, is my understanding. And then their software doesn't speak to the provider or the clinic software very well. And this is from the patient, because I use ZocDoc to schedule my husband's appointment with his doctor. And I use it for myself to find my eye doctor. And when I scheduled my appointment, they said it didn't have any record of it. So this is from a patient standpoint. So I was like, I'm not using that. So and then when he told me how much it was, I was like, no, thank you. So I'm like, I spent enough unnecessary money at the beginning of this whole practice setup stuff. I'm good. So
what about your Saturday and Sunday clinics? How does that look like for you in terms of how many patients do you see and how long are your visits?
You know, I see about 2 to 3 patients per weekend. And that is between telemedicine and in-person visits. I get most of my visits from word of mouth. And that's just because I've been doing urgent care for the last 5 years. So a lot of my referrals come from all of my coworkers from all of the urgent cares, because I work at, I don't know, I can't even tell you how many urgent cares I worked at in the area, because all of my locums are in the area. So if I do locums, they're in the Tampa, Gainesville, Cape Coral, like Clearwater area. So because I have established myself with the nurses and the staff in the area, they know who I am, and a lot of them were friends, so they just refer me patients. And then I have enough friends and family and friends of family, they refer me patients, and then my friends and family come to me. So between all of those people, that's how I get patients.
What is your, if you don't mind sharing, what is your patient population right now? And of those, how many are kids and how many are adults?
Let's see. I would say I don't really have that many children. I would say 90% of my clientele are adults. 10% are children. And when I say children, teenagers. I have, and this is just in the last year, and I'm not counting any of my friends and family. None of my friends or family are counted, because those patients, I'm talking about the patients that were established in the last year. The patients that were seen prior to 2020, I didn't even charge them for visits. So those are family and friends. The children that are in my EMR now that are less than age 16 are children of family and friends. So anybody that I've seen in the last year that has been established, that's a child, is a teenager. So as far as that's concerned, and then I would say 36% are men, the rest are women. So, and then I would say about 70% have insurance and the rest are uninsured. And I would say most of the ones that have insurance, it's a high deductible plan, or it's a situation where they have insurance and they can't get into their doctor for months and months and months. So they come to me for whatever the issue is at hand. So, and I've had a couple of like free sports physical clinics right before school started as a, you know, service to give back to the community. As well. So some of those are in there, but again, teenagers, not adults, nobody less than 16. So, yeah.
And when a patient wants to see you in person or even do a telemedicine visit, how does your scheduling work? Because I saw on your website, that patients can self-schedule.
Mm-hmm. So I use Square. I love Square. Square is free as far as the scheduling part. And they actually, there's a website, like if you sign up with Square, you get a free website, free scheduling. You get like a free card reader, and then you can set up to take payments. And then there's some fees associated with the payments. So, and ultimately, I guess it's not free when you talk about the fees that are associated with taking payments if you use their card readers. And then I use just my phone and in email. That's it. I've tried Calendly. I hated it. I tried Cogsworth. Hated it. I've tried all these other different modalities that people have recommended for scheduling. And yeah, Square is the one, because a couple times where it didn't work, for the most part, it works pretty consistently. And it's the easiest for me to manage. And then if you use Sesame, which is the telemedicine only platform for the out-of-state people, that's a whole separate scheduling platform. So I basically don't even I don't have to change much on that. I have to change two different things. If I have to change the square, I have to change sesame at the same time. But that's it. Square is my main one.
When you say that it's easier, can you touch on specifics that make square easier for you and why you like it?
Oh, it's just the simplicity of it. My staff is consists of my mom, who's almost 60. My aunt, who also is almost 60. My cousin, who's younger than me, she's, 7 years younger than me. She's 37. My other cousin, who's 26. And then periodically I have a volunteer who comes in. She's also 26. So when I say it's easy, I can sit them down at a computer and show them within 10 minutes how to put a patient on the schedule and take a payment within 10 minutes. That's how easy it is.
Stay with us. We'll be right back. Thank you to Spruce Health for supporting the My DPC Story podcast. The ways we communicate have changed dramatically over the past decades, but technology and tools in healthcare have not kept pace. Patients want more access and digital convenience, as well as the ability to text their care teams. Care teams are inundated with more communication and rising expectations, but are still using tools and technology stuck in prior decades. Spruce Health created a solution for the tech-forward DPC practice by creating a communication product designed to serve both the patient and the doctor through intuitive HIPAA-compliant workflows, tagging, scheduled messages, and triage templates ready for use, whether you're on your phone or in the exam room. New users get 20% off for the first 12 months of a paid plan with code MARYAL20. That's MARYAL20. So check out Spruce Health today at sprucehealth.com or check out the link in the show notes. That's wonderful. And when you do use payments, when you do take payments, are you using Square as your payment platform?
I use Square, and for recurring payments, if they're signing up for the DPC plan for recurring invoices or recurring monthly payments, I use QuickBooks.
And what EMR are you on now? Because before you mentioned you were on Practice Fusion.
On Practice Fusion.
Have you noticed any changes since it went from the free version to the paid version?
Well, when it was the free version, I really only used it for really basic stuff. So basic data entry and basic e-scribing. Now that I'm using it for more sophisticated stuff like referrals and not only e-scribing, but ordering labs and trying to interface with the lab, interface with x-ray, I really can't say I noticed a difference because I didn't use it for, I didn't try to hook it up with LabCorp. I didn't try to hook it up with Quest or anything like that. So I can't say I didn't notice a difference because I didn't use it for anything very complicated. I will say that now you can kind of upload documents a lot easier. And that's about the extent of the difference, that I noticed. That's about it. But I didn't, like I said, it was very like e-scribe and basic data entry. And that was, and I use it to do lab orders. But the extent of lab orders was very like basic. Like, here is your, like, I put in your information as a patient, print out the order and give it to the patient. And that was the extent of it.
And in your community, you mentioned LabCorp and Quest. Are they pretty easily accessible to patients, or are they far from your clinic?
Oh, yeah, they're pretty accessible, but I draw my labs in the clinic. So I don't have my patients go to the lab unless it's a telemedicine visit, and then I'll send them their lab order through PDF filler, or I'll have them come pick it up if they want it picked up, or I'll mail it to them. But yeah, so LabCorp is right up the street, as well as Quest. And there's Anytime Lab. Like, we have a lot of labs because it's a bigger city. Lutz is like a suburb of Tampa, Florida. So because we're so close to Tampa, we have a lot of all of the big city stuff. So lots of Quest labs There's literally one within walking distance from my clinic. There's actually two within driving distance, two Labcorps and two Quests within driving distance of the clinic.
When you do see patients on the weekend in person, how long are those visits typically?
Usually an hour. Let me rephrase that. Because I am all the things, so I am the front desk and the checkout and the nurse and the doctor, it ends up being 2 hours if they do their paperwork in the office, because that means they have to fill out the paperwork, which usually, depending on the patient, takes about 20 to 30 minutes. Then I have to put all that data in the computer. So that process by itself takes about 30 to 45 minutes. And then after I do all that, bring them back, get their vitals, and that whole process from beginning to end is about 2 hours. Now, if I'm dispensing, because I just got my pharmacy software set up, then that adds an additional 30 minutes onto the visit. So 2 to 2.5 hours if I'm doing everything. Now, I will caveat that with saying I did try to hire some help, but that didn't quite work out. So we're back to the drawing board with trying to hire help again. Because I knew winter was coming. So I essentially, like, my help got, I hired my help in November, and then she said she was available on the weekends. And then after she did all her stuff, so a background check and drug screen, she tells me I'm no longer available on the weekends.
Had you ever considered a virtual assistant?
Yes, I have. And that is the way I'm going to go. That is definitely something I'm going to do for the weekday, because I am working locums, and periodically, like, that picks up, and I'm working a lot during the weekday. So I am going to pick up a virtual assistant for those days and I'm working, like, away, and I can't answer the phone, and I need to call patients about labs, and I need someone checking my fax inbox. Like, I need someone to do that. That is going forward. But I also need someone to, like, help me on the weekends, like, to, do the stuff that takes me a bunch of time to kind of reduce the number of hours a patient stays in the office. But I'm not busy. So, I mean, like I said, everything happens for a reason. Perhaps it wasn't time for me to have someone on just yet. And it did help me realize that I think a nurse would be more helpful, because the other day I had a patient that needed everything. I did an employment physical. He needed an EKG. Employment physicals take forever. So that's the EKG labs. He also needed this, like, 6-page form filled out, because it was a government employment physical. And then on top of that, he needed this other thing done on top of that. So I was like, great. This is going to take forever. And then he was a hard stick. So I had to have him leave and come back, go drink water, come back, because he had no veins. And that took forever. So, between the EKG, drawing the labs, doing the actual physical, getting his, doing his vision, doing his paperwork, putting his stuff in the computer, calling to get his labs picked up, and then waiting for all that stuff to come in, and then, it's just a lot. It was a lot that day. I was like, oh my God, somebody help me.
Just listening to that story, I want to help you myself. I wish I could fly out to Florida and help you. In addition to using Square, because you love that with regards to scheduling, and even though you're on Practice Fusion, had you looked at different EMRs or other types of software to help streamline the process
Yes, I
in addition to virtual
did. I
assistants?
did. So I looked at Elation, which I actually really liked the setup of Elation. I looked at Atlas, which was okay. And I tried to look at Advanced MD and Athena, but I never got around to actually looking at it to see what it looks like in front of my face. And I've worked with eClinical, like, because I've done locums, I've worked with a lot of different EMRs. So I know, like, the gist of it. My favorite EMR is by far eClinical Works. eClinical Works is like $800 a month. So that was like not an option. Elation, I actually really like the way that one was set up. But they're all more expensive than what I pay for Practice Fusion. But I also didn't see, I did not get a chance to look and see what their forms were, how their forms were set up. But the problem with the forms issue is that most of my patients come in the same day when they come in the office. I would say 90% of my patients that come in the office are not doing their stuff ahead of time. So it doesn't save me any time at all. Very few, only my telemedicine patients do their stuff ahead of time. So in those visits are quick. Those visits are truly like 30 minutes, 45 minutes at the most, depending on the technology as far as my Wi-Fi. But the walk-ins are just kind of what they are. Like they call me that day. They say, can they come in? I say, come on in, and that's it. So it just takes them forever to do their paperwork. So it's just kind of the nature of the beast because I let people walk in. If we did appointment only, I could probably make that. I could streamline it. That would be the only workaround for that.
I have become a huge fan of podcasts. Ever since Sarah Koenig hosted the first season of Serial, I was hooked. Now, creating this podcast has become part of my daily life. While it is an exciting new hobby, I also see it as a privilege that I get to interview so many DPC and direct care doctors. If you are interested in starting a podcast, let me tell you a little bit about Anchor. First of all, it's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast as well with no minimum listenership. It's basically everything you need to make a podcast all in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. On your website, something that I found was so personable was your messages of the month. And so I wanted to ask you about what was your motivation to create messages of the month, and do those messages of the months get emailed to patients so they can read the messages of the month even though they might not be seen that month in your practice?
You know, I should. I don't. That's a great idea. You know, my message of the month is just my thoughts, you know, sharing my experience and as a human being, because I think that people forget that we're doctors, like we have feelings too, and we're going through our own difficult times just like they are. So I share that, and it's a little bit of therapy for me too, because I don't talk about the stuff that I go through.
Yeah, it's not always the easiest thing to find someone who understands because you're a mom, a doctor, an entrepreneur, a wife, a daughter. All of those hats can each have their, trying points of our lives. But when someone is a physician, I think it's very different because we spend our days listening to other people's issues and we put ourselves on pause when we're in patient rooms almost. You know, that's broken when, especially when you're empathizing with a patient, but that's our job is to take care of others. And it's hard to remember sometimes to take care of yourself as well.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to share a little piece of me, because I do create boundaries, and but I do like to share a little of me, and all my patients know me. Who know me, and I'm very down to earth, and I'm very honest about everything about what's going on with them, and I try to present things in a way that they can understand, and I present it, and I try to meet them where they are. So if you're a healthcare professional, I speak to you where you are. If you are a 5-year-old, I'm going to speak to you where you are as a 5-year-old. So I try to meet people where they are, but not everybody wants to hear your story. So that's probably why I don't email it to everyone, and I leave it there for people to see when they look at the website and they're doing their research, and they see when they feel like reading it, they can see it. But I think definitely it's nice to You know, if my doctor sent me something, I probably wouldn't read it. I'm going to be honest. Because I have so much email. I don't know. I have so much stuff that comes to me. I probably wouldn't read it. So that's another reason why I probably wouldn't send it.
The patients who do establish care with you via a telemedicine visit, do you find that when you provide them quality care that anybody who is local then will join your practice in terms of the recurring membership model?
Yes, especially now that things are more established. When I first started, I felt like everything was kind of just kind of thrown together. So my message wasn't clear and concise. And as I've had the last 3 months to be home and more focused on refining my message and my goals and what I'm trying to do, I definitely can see the benefits of being able to focus and have a clearer message. And people are now saying, okay, I want to sign up with you. And at the beginning, I was all over the place. I can't even tell you how scattered my message was. And people were just signing up with me because they like me. And, you know, I'm likable, but I was disorganized. So, like, they didn't stay. And I can't blame them for not staying because my message was unclear. And confused minds don't buy. And now that my message is clear and I've read more about other practices and what the whole process of direct primary care looks like and how it works and understand it a lot better and what other practices do. And I like it. I like my message. I love what it stands for now, and I can sell it and it's more concise. So I can say that now when people come to see me and when I see them and I explain to them what we do, they're like, wow, that's really awesome. I am going to give you this. I give them this information and what it looks like in the presentation packet is a lot more personable and more organized and improved. It's new and improved, you know, the new. And now they're like, okay, yeah, I want to sign up with you. I just had a telemedicine visit today. She's in Oklahoma. She wanted to sign up. So I was like, I can't. I was like, ma'am, I'm going to find you a DPC doctor in Oklahoma, though. I'm going to find one for you. I can see you for now, but you need to see someone in Oklahoma.
How flattering, though. So, that's so awesome.
So, like, the message now is clear. My thoughts are clearer now because I've had the last 3 months pretty much off because I haven't done as much locums work. But you definitely, like, you have to treat the business like a child. It requires your attention, and the amount of attention that you would give a newborn, you have to give a business. I thought I could do it and work all these other jobs, and I really couldn't do it. You know, the superwoman in me was like, you can do it. No, I couldn't do it. So I threw together a bunch of stuff, and it looked like it was a great package, but in actuality, when you like read it, it wasn't a good deal. So after I refined everything and, you know, through social media and all the different DPC websites and the books and things of that nature, I was like, this is not a good deal. Let's change this. Let's take this out. Let's replace this. And then I was like, okay, now this is something that I can work with. And now people are ready to sign up. Now I just need to actually, you know, sit down and get out there and market accordingly. Because for me, I'm a people person. I love to talk to people. I love to meet my neighbors. I love to get out and say hello and like, hey, like, what are you doing? Like, what's going on over here? You know, I'm that type of person that's like into meeting the people, but now meeting the people might get you killed. So I would stay home. So I stay home in my little bubble. And that's kind of how I handle the pandemic for now.
It's the safest thing though to just be cautious. Like you're saying, you know, you're in this for the long haul, and so that's a way to protect yourself and your practice, yep. Especially as you're treating it like, you know, like you said, a new baby.
Yep. I tell you no lie. My cousin lives with me. He's 26. He came home after a weekend of partying for his birthday, and he got COVID after a weekend of partying for his birthday. And I was not happy. I was very upset. And I was just like, you know, this is really unfair to me because, you know, I, you know, do my best, stay home. We don't go out. We don't go out to eat. We don't go anywhere. Me and my daughter are home 24 hours a day for the most part. A little bit of going out is the grocery store, her dentist appointments and her orthodontist appointments, and my dentist appointments and my doctor's appointments, and that was about it. So we're not really going anywhere, and for someone to, we don't even go out for our birthdays. So it's like frustrating when someone, and it's the, you know, he's 26, so I get it, you know. So like, it's frustrating when someone comes home and who doesn't take it seriously, and we're taking it very seriously, because if I don't work, I don't get paid. You know, so there's exactly. No backup plan. There's nothing left, you know, like if something should happen to me, then there's nobody that's going to say, oh, let me pick up and run your practice for you. So after a very nice, nasty conversation, he went to go stay with his fiance. And he was over there for like a month, and he's pretty much been over there more days than not since he, you know, doesn't like to stay home.
As your practice has evolved, I wanted to ask you about your pricing. How did you determine pricing?
Pricing was based on basically three things: my expenses, the comparable comps, as you would say in the real estate industry, like basically comparing it to other DPC clinics, as well as the number of patients I wanted to be able to see comfortably in total. So I thought like 400 to 500 was a comfortable number to max out at. So I felt like between that and the discounts that I offer and the number of patients that I thought I would like to see total, that's basically how I came up with my prices and my discounts. So like the minimum I would be comfortable taking and the maximum that I would take, that's how I came up with my prices and my discounts. And I thought a good round number was 100, and it's so easy to manipulate 100.
You also mentioned on your website Reimbursify, and I wanted to ask, have your patients taken advantage of Reimbursify, and how has that gone for them?
I experimented with my mom and my best friend just to see how this worked, because Reimbursify was meant for physical therapists really and psychiatrists, because it was actually developed by a psychiatrist, an MD, to allow you to get reimbursed for mental health visits and physical therapy visits, really. Is basically the doctor who invented it was from New York. And when I heard it, I was like, I'm gonna try it. So I use it with a patient, and the patient, one of them, I don't know what happened with it. One of them, I think it went through, but that particular patient, you know, was a friend. So the other one, I got a notice from the insurance company saying that they weren't going to reimburse them, but it was like 50%, 50-50. So I have it, but most of the patients have a high deductible plan, no insurance, or use an HSA account. So they don't even use it because their insurance isn't going to, it doesn't matter for their insurance, essentially. Especially if you have a high deductible, it doesn't matter. You're not going to get reimbursed anyway.
I want to switch gears here a little and ask you about one of the offerings you have in your clinic is a weight loss clinic. Can you share a little bit about what is that and how does it work
for the patient? So it's a separate service. It's completely separate from the DPC. It's just essentially you have an initial visit. That visit basically does a assessment of your a depression evaluation, anxiety evaluation, nutrition evaluation, a series of questions. It's the depression evaluation is the BECCS depression inventory. General anxiety evaluation is the GAD questionnaire. And then the nutrition evaluation is a series, like a 6-page questionnaire. And then there's a life stress questionnaire, also based on this scorable question sheet that you can get that I got from a obesity conference that I did years ago when I was obesity medicine, a member of the obesity medicine, one of the organizations that you could join and maintain your membership for however many hundreds of dollars a year. And then with that initial visit, you get your EKG, you do all these, you know, you fill out the forms, you basically, you know, do you give me your history. We develop a plan based on what you tell me. And essentially I'm evaluating what you've done in the past and what worked and what didn't work, what your goals are. And then we essentially decide what we're going to put you on. So is it going to be, it's going to be a diet with some type of exercise program based on your age and your health. And then we decide if you are a candidate for the typical weight loss medications, or do we need to be put you on something else? Not everybody is a candidate for Phentermine or Topamax. So sometimes we have to, you know, use other things. So if you're diabetic or pre-diabetic, then I can get away with Vivictoza or one of the newer medications, or metformin. If you're perimenopausal, I can get away with hormone replacement therapy. If your life stress questionnaire, I've had people come in because it scores up to like 2,000, something crazy. Like the number is like 0, like 10 to like 2,000 is the life stress questionnaire. And, you know, some of the most stressful things are like the death of a close family member, moving, weddings. Those are some of the like high scoring things. And if you score high, then, you know, sometimes I'll put people on Prozac, and believe it or not, they'll lose weight. They'll lose weight on some Prozac. So, you know, it just depends on the person. If they are on like Coumadin, then I have to have them come in and we'll put them on a very specific diet for them to maintain their INR and lose the weight. So it just depends on the person. I've done some of everything for every type of patient because I've been doing this since 2010.
On that note, do you have any tech or tools that you can't live without in your practice? Yeah,
I love my PDF filler. That is like probably the best software. Every now and then it glitches on me, and usually it's because of something I did. Because it's HIPAA compliant and it's really like low as far as like what you get for the money, it's awesome because you could essentially take any document that you say you like the way a form looks, you can scan it into that software and edit it and make it your own. It will let you edit it, delete, put your logo on it, turn it into a Word document, Excel, whatever. It will let you do just about anything to a document. And It's super cheap, and you can send it to a patient for them to fill out, sign. You can put in editable fields, and it's super easy to use for patients. It'll let you create document links, as well as make it so that it's password. It requires a password as well. So it's really like the easiest thing that I've found outside of DocuSign and JotForm and FormFox and all the other alternatives out there that can be really expensive, that's HIPAA compliant.
You have had such an incredible journey. For those who are considering DPC, what advice could you give them?
Don't be afraid to ask for help and be honest about letting people know your situation. Because I remember when I got laid off, and I was really embarrassed because I thought, man, physicians don't get laid off. And I had to remind myself that it had nothing to do with my capability as a physician, because I'm good at what I do as a physician, but it was just the nature of the business of medicine. And as physicians, we weren't trained to be business people. We were trained to be physicians. And when, you know, shit hit the fan, I needed help. And I eventually broke down and I told my community, which was my, Florida physician mommy community or my Tampa physician mommy community. And I was like, I need help because this happened to me. And they reached out and they were like, let me see what I can do. Maybe I can help, you know, and they all reached out to me in different ways. To see if they could help me. And if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be able to say I've been in practice for now, I don't know, has it been, see, July? It's been half a year now. So if it wasn't for them, like, I wouldn't have been able to get my labs up and going, my pharmacy up and going, and you know, everybody's been really helpful with trying to get me patients, you know, and just making sure the business is growing. So ask for help. Don't be afraid to let people know your situation. You know, and be honest about your situation, because somebody else has gone through it or is going through it. And maybe one day your story will help them speak up and get help. And then they can get out of that situation and help the next person.
If somebody wants to reach out to you, what is the best way for them to find
you? Email me at lutesfamilypractice@gmail.com. I check my email 30 times a day.
Thank you so much, Dr. Jackson, for joining us today. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Next week, look forward to hearing from Dr. Katrini Iqbal and Nir Patel of Direct Med DPC. If you like what you heard today, please leave a review and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. Tell your friends too. For more information on this episode and much more, please visit mydpcstory.com. Also, for the latest in DPC news, check out dpcnews.com. Until next week, this is Marielle Concepcion.